Let us pray. Lord, as we look at our commitment to you and our faith in you, we ask that you fill us with clarity of vision and a true sense of whose we are and whom we seek to serve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, Jane and I went along to the cinema to see what all the fuss was about with that film, Slumdog Millionaire. I hate the programme. I just loathe it. Dreadful programme. But I thought I had to see this film. It was winning all these Oscars. How can you not go? And it was an excellent film, bringing out all aspects of poverty and life in India. A pastiche of incidents in the hero's life. The part of the film I personally found disturbing, and I'm sure most of us would, was the blinding of this young boy using a hot spoon, deliberately blinding someone. And simply because he had a beautiful voice, because the people will pay three times as much if the begging singer is blind. Adult abuse of children to make money. It's appalling, truly gross. It brought home to me the lesson we read about Bartimaeus today. And I have a poem written by a blind Indian woman. It was a wall of hopelessly crippling and deplorable blackness, a wall whose treacherous realms seemed to stretch to even an infinite kilometres beyond the realms of hopeless infinite infinity. The scene from Matthew of a beggar sitting by the roadside with his mantle, and I'm using the RSV translation on this. Some of the language of the Good News is a wee bit kind of varied. I prefer the RSV, old-fashioned. He had his mantle wrapped around him, and it reminded me of an incident in Glasgow city centre a couple of years ago when some friends were out with Jane and I for a meal. And when we left the restaurant, the first person we met was a young man with a stick standing at the entrance of the arcade selling the big issue. It was a cold night, and it was about 10 o'clock, and he was still selling a fairly big pile of these magazines. So I appeased my conscience and bought one. A moment of relief. I had done something, and I felt a bit better anyway. We walked around the corner towards the car, and there, in the arch, we saw a crumpled heap of humanity. He, and I'm assuming it was he, because you couldn't make out what it was just human. He was sitting on the ground, the cold ground, rubbing one leg with his beggar's cap at his feet. I looked and walked on by on the other side. I did nothing. What this person needed, I don't know. Was it a con? I don't know. I didn't ask. He would almost certainly have used any money I gave him for drink or drugs. I don't know. I only assumed that as an excuse for doing nothing. Was I in danger? From what? A crumpled heap of clothing? Was I likely to be contaminated with what? His filthy clothing or some dread disease which he would no doubt be carrying? I can only remember the pain. The pain of walking by on the other side and doing nothing. I wasn't helpless. I could have spoken to the person. I could have given the same obligatory pound I had given to the big issue seller a moment earlier. Or I could have done what I did and did nothing, walking on by on the other side. Now I want you to flip back to that scene in Jericho. What did Jesus do? He acknowledged the man behind the cries. He did not, however, tackle the man's obvious poverty. He did not ask him, "What can I give you?" He asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, you might have expected Bartimaeus to ask for money. He was begging after all. But no, he asks for his sight back. Now think about this for a minute. He asked for his sight back. This was no short-term fix. His livelihood was his blindness. And yet he gave that up in the blink of an eye. He asks for his sight back. Perhaps he believed Jesus was royalty and didn't carry any money anyway, so there was no point in asking for money. But no, he saw Jesus as the Jewish man who could heal his blindness. This son of David who had the power to heal. Bartimaeus was a Jewish man too. Although it's not explicit in the text, it is implicit. Calling to one of his own people. And in St. John's Gospel, we find the expanded version of Jesus healing a man blind from birth. The disciples asked then, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" They still linked illness as a punishment from God. As it's put in Numbers, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. However, Jesus debunks that myth completely. Remembering Deuteronomy, "The fathers shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin." So we can't blame anyone else. It's us. So Jesus corrected their wrong thinking with his response. It was not this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. Not then as a punishment for sin, but as a means of glorifying God. My reaction to the beggar in Glasgow was pretty much that of the disciples in their rebuking the beggar to let Jesus alone. "Do not trouble the master." As if he needed protecting from a beggar. My heart was screaming at this beggar, "Do not trouble my conscience." What I had spent on the meal we had just enjoyed would have fed that beggar for probably a good few weeks, and not just one meal either. I was angry that I was being challenged by his presence. Like the disciples, I made a judgment on that poor individual that he was probably a junkie or an alkie, based on my own prejudice and not on any contact I had made with him. Jesus made that contact. The one thing about the Bartimaeus story which struck me was the persistence of the man. He would not be silenced by the disciples. He continued to cry to Jesus. Do we in the church behave as the disciples did here? Do we demand silence of a crying, blind world just to appease our consciences? Do we exclude people from contacting God through his son Jesus by denying them sight of God? You're not a member here, so do not demand of God. Be silent. Bartimaeus would not take no for an answer. There was an urgency about his pleading. Jesus was passing by. It may have been the first time he had had the opportunity to contact him. Here he was, this golden opportunity to be healed. I believe that urgency is something today we in church ignore at our peril. The urgency of pleading by a blind world for direction. The kind of direction that only we can provide through Jesus. Not the kind of guidance epitomized by the be silent dismissal, but the take heart, rise, he is calling you. In that one statement, there is acknowledgement of this man, this human being in trouble. There is a welcoming call to approach the Son of God. And notice too that Jesus puts out the invitation and then leaves it out there for Bartimaeus to approach him. That is surely the call of the church, to acknowledge humanity and then, after the invitation is out there, leave it for those in need to come to God. Yes, we can lead them. But as I said to the two children earlier on, dragging them will not work. Jesus provided Bartimaeus not with what you might have expected. He let Bartimaeus choose between the short-term fix, money, or the long-term fix, sight. Not sight back in John's Gospel. It wasn't sight back, but sight that had never been. A new experience of wholeness. That is what we in the church need to leave in the hands of God. We may guide the blind to Jesus, but it is in his hands alone that the healing can come from. Jesus, in fact, doesn't actually touch him in the story from Mark. He tells him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Now, there are variations in the other Gospels, but they're all minor. Whether Jesus touched the man or not, all agree that the man was healed through faith in Christ. Does the church at large realize how powerful their ministry is in guiding others to Christ, in presenting them before God for healing, to allow God to be glorified? Jesus held to that passage from Isaiah. In not looking at the past of this sinner. In fact, he positively denied that Bartimaeus' sins were what caused his condition. He ignored the man's history and the question which might have sprung from it. Why does this man deserve healing? He cuts away all that judgment which led to my prejudice toward the Glasgow beggar. He saw the man. He did not ask, "Why should I do this for you?" He asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" All of this to glorify God. Do you here today realize the urgency of the cries we hear from that blind world out there? They are looking to be led to faith. And through faith to be healed, to be made whole, not to be made whole again, but to be made whole for the first time. Their cries to allow them to do as Bartimaeus did and follow the Lord on his way, glorifying God. The God who heals them, the God who makes them whole. Would I now have the courage or the compassion to engage with that beggar in the streets of Glasgow? Probably not. But that is something I will need to work on. Would you do any differently? Do we realize the urgency of the cries from the world? Possibly, but feel helpless in our ability to deliver or the desire to lead others to faith, to the feet of Jesus, the Savior of the world. There is the only place we can be healed. There alone can our faith be fulfilled in our healing and the healing of those who see Jesus as the person, maybe the only person, who can do for them, who can give them their healing miracle. There were bedspreads of darkness around him. Rays of light deserted him in peak of youth, submerging his silhouette in waves of merciless black, crippling all fantasies of beauty and form, subjecting him to brutal strokes of destiny, caressing him with marathon minutes of despair, divesting him of essential ingredients of life, evaporating remnant traces of hope with seconds zipping by. He read projected script of authentic braille, danced with counterpart mate in galleries of incessant gloom, ate and slept in confinement till escorted by those with sight, carried a metallic cane with shades of white and scarlet red, bore every day brunt of sardonic laughter, looked enchanting in strips of stained black glass, groped his way confronting traffic with melted introversion, watched television solely relying on the cadence, rise and fall of sound, occasionally wore gaudy clothes upside down. He could dream of none but blackness as he was oblivious to light. Recognized all in proximity by their voice, bereft of precious centers of vision, he lay unattended. There are several of his kind devoid of sight. Come on, friends, let's gear up to help the blind. Amen. And thanks be to God for this preaching from his word, and to his name be all honor, praise, and glory, world without end.